Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow. Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This jack of ball, man.
You want to play a game? Okay. How can I win it?
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong.
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send the love.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Giving you the latest in sports, the highest sports people out there in your city, in your area, all over.
I'm too strong.
Welcome. What's up, everybody? This is your host, Trey. Welcome to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. I'm here with you another Monday. For all those who keep blaming Chris Paul for the reason the Clippers lost, it is not his fault. The Clippers was on a bad end of some bad calls. And the Thunder will be playing tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. Also, I got my co-host here, who's here again, TK. What's up? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Why do you not sound excited when you introduce me? You always sound very upset.
You know what? I'm not gonna front. I didn't know you was gonna be here this long.
I didn't know either. But you know, people must like me giving you the blues.
No, you don't do that.
I do.
Anyways, well, congratulations for being here another week.
Thank you.
No, hopefully it keeps up. I don't know. You keep being a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, it's not going to happen.
Whatever. You don't want me here, but I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Anyways, your team, Pacers, did a great job yesterday, smacking the Heat.
They did.
Like, I don't know what happened. It seemed like the Heat wasn't really in tune to the game.
Bosh didn't do nothing. Nothing. Defense, horrible. I mean, Bosh had like four fouls.
See, here's the thing. Chris Bosh is not a center. He's not... He is a power forward, a stretch power forward. That's it. He's always been that stretch power forward, never been like the brutal, the banging type. He's just been the always, shoot a nice little jump shot.
He wouldn't shoot no jump shots the other day.
We know. We know because... Between David West, underrated as a power forward.
He gave him the blues.
And Roy Hibbert, which, people have been making nothing. People have been saying their little jokes about Roy Hibbert.
But he stepped up, though.
Yeah. I mean, because what big men do they have? I know you talk about Greg Oden, but.
No.
Okay.
I don't talk about Greg Oden.
Really? You love Greg Oden.
No, I don't. Don't play with me.
You thought Greg Oden was sexy. Now you don't like him because he's on the bench. Oh, you messed up.
Look.
That's right.
I don't want Paul George to hear this. He might get a little jealous. Okay.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. You know what? Kudos to Paul. I mean, the starting five from the Pacers really did a good job with ball movement. Great defense.
I think that he underestimated them. I think that they thought from the previous game the Pacers weren't going to come out as strong as they have. And I just think they were not ready for them. They just took them for granted. They thought it was going to be an easy win. But the Heat, they are good, but they are not unbeatable. I think sometimes they forget that.
You know what? The Pacers has been waiting for this matchup all season. Ever since the last playoffs, this is all they've been talking about. They're like, look, we don't care about the rest of the Eastern Conference.
They felt like the Heat was the only competition.
Yeah, the Heat was the only competition. And not only that, hey, you know what? If we had home court advantage, if we were the number one seed, home court advantage, then that will turn the tide. So, and they've been waiting for this matchup all year.
And they looked like they were waiting, and they were ready.
This was only game one.
True. I'm not saying that they're going to win the series, but game by game is what we're talking about. And yesterday, they looked good.
For now.
They looked good.
For now. I expect game two. I expect LeBron to light a fire under the rest of the team, Dwayne Wade to come back.
This is the thing. Can he really do it? Your ability can only go so far, even with Chris Bosh. Do you think they really have the ability to stop their opponent? LeBron, we know he can do it.
Yeah. For the simple case, and I had this conversation among sports groups, people who underestimate Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, before the knee injury.
Keyword, before the knee injury.
You know what? I'll even give you the knee injury. 80% healthy, D. Wade is a bad MF. He's a bad MF. But, like, he is probably the best complimentary player in the NBA right now.
Hmm.
And the best number two option. When he plays, he is, like, the best. It is just, they manage his minutes because playoff series out there, you're going to need that contribution. Now, game one, game two, they'll see. Game three, four, five, six, seven, you're going to see Dwayne Wade at his very best.
Okay.
That's it. I think people keep underestimating Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade won a championship before LeBron, before his knees were quote-unquote also bad. He was probably one of the best superstar in this league, proven superstar in this league.
The key word was past tense. I don't know if he can hold up for seven games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know why he's going to hold up?
And play consistently well.
Here's the thing. Dwayne Wade, he gets a couple easy passes. He's like the motivating factor. If Dwayne Wade gets easy baskets, LeBron gets easy baskets. Then Chris Bosh gets the easy baskets. Then Ray Allen gets the open threes. Then Shane Battier gets the open threes.
I don't think Chris Bosh is going to get easy baskets this series. Because of who he's matched up against, I don't think it's going to be that easy for him in this series.
But he's you know what? he will come through. It's just like last year. You know, quiet as it is kept. Do I think Chris Bosh is a great superstar in this league? No.
But he contributes. I mean, people act like he doesn't contribute. He does.
He's a superstar, but not like you would put him in that top tier. Because, mind you, he plays with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. So he's taking that back seat. But I expect, and again, game two, game three, the rest of the series, he will be a little bit more assertive because that's what they're going to need from him.
Oh, he has to. The defense, the turnovers, everything. Bosh, Wade, they all have to step up. Everything has to be completely different from the game they played yesterday, or they're going to lose.
But the Pacers, first of all, the Pacers' ball performance was just impeccable.
It was. They looked really good.
Yeah, you know, and it was just one of those days. Everybody was hitting shots. Everybody was on the court.
Why do you assume that they can't play like that again? You talk as if this is just a one-hit wonder. They just got lucky. But they proved yesterday that they have talent. They know how to move the ball. They know how to play the game. And they know how to win. So why do you take that from them and assume that they can't do that again?
Because.
Now, I'm not saying they'll win the series. I'm just saying, why do you think that this is just a one-hit wonder?
I don't think it's a one-hit wonder. It's just the Heat came out flat. Mind you, they've been resting. They've been on their chill. They just beat the Knicks. Really, we're like, okay. They've been chilling and you're in Miami. You're chilling. You still sleep. But Miami is probably one of the best defensive teams in this league. And for them to let what happened yesterday, it was just out of their character.
I mean, I think they're going to come back with a vengeance. Especially LeBron, he's so competitive, and he definitely doesn't want to lose in the way that they lost. So I do think that the Heat are going to come back, and they're going to try to go off with their head. But I can't just assume that the Pacers can't perform the way they did yesterday.
I think so. I mean, they could perform, but you're telling, and now mind you, is who are you going to? Well, you need that shot, that one shot to what Mark Jackson would say, that man shot. Who are you going to get it from when it comes to the Pacers? Now, everybody, of course, you're going to say Paul George.
I wasn't going to say Paul George.
No, and this is just, okay, cool.
The majority are going to say Paul
George. Is he ready to fill those superstar shoes?
I don't know. There's no way to know. Only way you will know to answer that question is how he plays the series. That's it.
No, and then mind you now, he's going to be guarded by LeBron. When the pressure's on and it's the closing minutes, fourth quarter, pretty much all through the game, he's going to be guarded by LeBron. And you know what thing about LeBron? He's not a bad defender.
No, he's not.
So,
Paul George isn't a bad basketball player either. I believe he can score. He had 24 yesterday.
True.
He will be able to get some points on LeBron. Now, he may not get 30, but he'll be able to score on LeBron.
But see, to think about it, 24. Can he get that for seven games? Because if he doesn't get that 24,
I think he can get it for four games.
Never. You need, this is the heat now. This is what you've been talking
I'm
about
just being
all
honest.
Year.
I think that he will be able to do it for at least 4 games. Now, he may surprise me. He may surprise everybody. And he might step up, because at some point, every player has to finally step up to be that superstar. And who knows, this might be his time to finally just step up and play the superstar game.
No
way. At some point in every star career, it comes at defining moment where he has to step up. Who am I to say that it won't be now? I don't know. I just have to watch and see.
I believe so. In my honest opinion, offensively, they have to click like that every game. It's just that he are real good at making the necessary adjustments.
They are.
And for them to do that for 7 games, to have that offensive explosion like they had yesterday, it's going to be hard for them.
Yeah, I mean, anybody playing the Heat, it's not an easy win. That's just what it is.
It's crazy. It's just, you really got to think about it. You really have to think about it. If you're telling Paul George to get 24 a game, because when the Pacers lose, that's, everybody going to point the finger at him.
They're
crowning him as the face of the Pacers franchise. I just think he is not ready for the responsibility. The responsibility,
and he may not be.
It's just, I like to see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that he will take the series, but I don't think it'll be easy.
I think, and I'll be honest with you, I really didn't have this going 7 games. I think he'll lose 1. But, you know, it'll go 7, 6. I had to go to 6 because it's just, those are big shoes to fill. And one thing about Miami, they're all the champions.
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise. Now, we have the Western Conference Finals. This is an intriguing matchup between the Spurs and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has a big task ahead of him. With Serge Ibaka, you know, might be out for the rest of the playoffs. Kevin Durant has to shoulder the load, so to speak. And I grant it, the man just won MVP. I think it's well-deserved.
Agreed. He definitely deserves that.
And why is this? Kevin Durant has won the scoring title and has shot over 50% doing it. Russell Westbrook goes down. He takes his team to another level where it's just like, okay, the role guys step up, everybody steps up, and the team looks like it's clicking, it's flowing. Now, granted, I am not a Westbrook fan.
You've made that very clear.
I'm not, because to me, Westbrook is just really a shooting guard, just put into a point guard position. And for Kevin Durant to not only win the scoring title, but for his scoring ability, if he took as many shots as Westbrook takes, God only knows.
He'll be winning by like 200.
you know what? Because it's not, Kevin Durant can not only score, but it's like every time he shoots it, it's going in. He's very efficient. The most efficient scorer in the NBA. I think that's what separates him from a Kobe, from a Carmelo, and every other great scorer in the league. He is very, very efficient. He doesn't need 25 shots to get 25 points. He does it. Kevin Durant can get you 30 points off of 15 shots. Mind you, you're not even talking about getting to the free throw line. We're very efficient from the three-point land as well. So,
like I said, he's very consistent. Very consistent.
So it's just when Westbrook went down, he elevated his game. He elevated the Thunder to where they're at now. Now, playing against the Spurs, who still have Tim Duncan, who still have Tony Parker, who still have Manu Ginobili, those core three, some way, somehow, that responsibility is going to be shouldered by them. Because Durant is in a funny predicament. Will he be a four, power forward? Tim Duncan, he'll look at a Tim Duncan, or, you know, on the defensive end. Not so much offensively, because that's going to be amazing. But on the defensive end, and you really don't know Kevin Durant as a all-time great defender. You play some D. Plays enough D. But, you know, you really, on defense, would you put him on Tim Duncan?
I don't know about that one.
And that's the situation you're going to go with. Who is going to guard Tim Duncan?
I mean, you probably would have to put Durant on him, but...
Yeah.
I don't know how effective that would be.
And granted, and people are shaking their heads like, oh, man, Tim Duncan.
But that's probably their best option.
Granted, Tim Duncan is 100 years old.
But that man can
But Tim Duncan, you know, he's been balling silently.
I've said that before. The Spurs are not the most exciting slam dunk, crossing everybody, hoop hoop ha ha team, but they play well. They play good fundamental basketball, and that's always hard to defend.
Here's another thing. If Kevin Durant played the four, and they were thinking about moving Westbrook over to a shooting guard, now you put and you start Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson is going to be guarding Tony Parker.
That's not going to work.
And you saw what you just did to Damian. Granted, this is Damian Lillard now. Shout out to Rip City. Not taking anything away from him, but he
Tony Parker would destroy that boy.
Thank you.
There's no, that ain't gonna work.
And you know, and that's it. Now, would you put Red? And now you put Green. So Reggie Jackson's gonna go. There's mixed matches all over that board. It's offensively, OKC can go. Defensively, someone is going to be in trouble. Someone.
Maybe more than one person.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how good you are, Tony Parker is hard to guard.
Yeah.
Period.
Like, you know, Westbrook on Tony Parker, that's what you're going to want. That's what you're going to see. But Tony Parker being Tony Parker, he's going to get his 10 to 15 points, even with he's going to get his 15. I'm saying 10 to 15. He's going to get 15 with Westbrook guarding him.
No problem.
And that's Westbrook. So imagine Reggie Jackson.
Tony Parker had like 40.
He just might. Until they make this select, it's really going to be pick your poison. Now, granted, they do have Caron Butler, who's a proven perimeter defender, tough guy as far as defense is concerned in this league. But who's he going to guard?
It's a tough one. The Spurs are tough, period.
And you know, granted, the Spurs, it's going to look bad for the Spurs defensively as well, because, well, we know Pop is not going to let Tim Duncan guard Kevin Durant. That, oh, hell no. It's not going to happen. He will come up with some. This is when coaching comes involved, because Popovich is going to come up with a scheme, a plan, or something where he is going to make sure certain guys guard Durant, Westbrook, and other guys are going, now you're going to have Ibaka. So who is picking your poison? Do we let Durant go for 40 every night and cancel everybody else? Like, and that's what I feel like the task is going to be for Kevin Durant. This is going to be MVP for him. Because you know what? Westbrook going to take his 25 shots. Is he going to get 25 points?
No.
Don't know. Do not
but
know.
But you know he's going to shoot.
He's going to shoot it. Where do you get, are you going to get the contribution from, you know, Jones and Adams and Perkins and Butler and Jackson and Lamb? Those are the guys that got to beat the Spurs.
I don't know. I don't know. I have the Spurs taking the series. I love Durant, but I don't know if they can do it. The Spurs are tough.
Like, and with Ibaka being hurt, that was a major blow. Major blow.
But I still think.
That's what the Spurs was going to do. They're going to let. I just said, Kevin Durant gets 35 to 40 points. Go ahead, cool.
They can't win the game if they shut everybody else down.
You know. And let's just say Westbrook gets 20. Okay, Durant 40, Westbrook 20. That's 60. Hell, give Westbrook 30. That's
only
70.
He's not going to get 30. He's not. That's wishful thinking. He's not going to get 30.
He's good for a night like that. Where all the cylinders are clicking.
He makes a lot of cylinders clicking right now.
Makes a whole bunch of layups to get out there. But this is the San Antonio. This is when Greg Popovich is when coaching kicks in. And it's just be like, oh, man, this is when you'll see Scott Brooks' gears grinding and grinding. You can hear the gears grinding in Scotty Brooks' head. Like oh, man. Because it's going to be a task for Durant, because to score and defend and be a leader as well, that's a whole new different intangible. You have to score, defend, and lead. This is going to be tough. We're going to go ahead to our musical interlude. When we come back, I got my man from Combine Prep, Coach Lee. He's going to come. Talk prep school hoops with us, and we're going to see who he got winning the championship. But we're going to go ahead to this musical break record. Go ahead and kick that interlude.
Shadow.
Hold it now. Died when the other man lied.
welcome back, welcome back. I got my man, prep school coach, Coach Lee Thalassinos, here with us on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Hey, how you doing there, Coach?
Pretty good tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Coach.
Good.
You're sort of like a basketball guru. Who do you have going to the finals?
I got to go with Paul George and the Pacers.
Oh, wow. Wow, you just made TK's day because that is a sweetheart.
I'm ready.
I mean, and I'm gonna tell you, and I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the Pacers. I'm not a fan of anybody in the playoffs right now. My man, Trevor Booker was, you know, plays with the Wizards. Known him since he's been at Clemson for several years. They're out, so I have to go now with the Pacers.
Oh, okay. Now, why the Pacers?
I just like the way they play. They got a solid game. I could possibly see the Thunder taking it, but I just have to go with the Pacers. They have a solid game.
Wow. Now, that, you know, that is music to TK's ears because she is our Paul George. Paul George is her, I guess, man crush or whatever. However.
My future husband.
Okay, future
husband. I heard that.
You're going to win a championship.
There you go. I believe it. You know, I've been a long time since I was a kid, a Lakers fan, and I grew up here in the South, in South Carolina, and every time we would go to an Atlanta Hawks game, we'd end up being against the Lakers, and fell in love with the Lakers back in the day. And they're just not a team like they used to be. And I don't know if it's from the coaching perspective or just the team perspective, but they're not who they used to be. And now, you know, a lot of young teams. I like the Mavericks. I like the Wizards. But when you sit down and look at what the Pacers have done this year, that's the team. I think they'll be there at the end.
Wow. Well, definitely. We got to see how it plays out. You know, and you said the Thunder. Now, why the Thunder? You have the Thunder going to the spot.
For once, in a long time, I think the NBA got it right with Durant as their MVP. He's a class act. The Thunder, you know, I like them. I like the way they play. Durant's solid. Westbrook's solid. They've got a few guys out that shouldn't be out right now, but I like them also. I mean, but I still believe from everything I've been seeing and watching, it's going to be the Pacers.
Wow. So you got the Thunder and the Pacers going to the finals.
Yep.
That'd be good finals to see.
And that would be a great final to see, and it'll sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah. Two young teams going after it.
Yep.
For it all. Okay. I like, you know, I can see that happening. Paul George versus Durant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be a good game, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be good. Well, Coach, why don't you go ahead and tell the Game Strong world a little bit about yourself?
Well, like I said, I grew up in South Carolina. When I was a teenager, I've got Greek heritage. My parents moved us back to Greece in the mid-'80s, came back here, and believe it or not, I was a day late for registration to go to my local high school. I had to go to New York City to go to high school where my brother was living. While there, participated in basketball, soccer, had an opportunity to forego my senior year of high school and go straight to college and play soccer because of my academics and everything. And I turned it down, came back home to my local town here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and graduated from the local high school, and then continued and went and played soccer on a scholarship, walked on to Fordham University's basketball program back in the 80s. And then by my junior year, had a two-sport scholarship along with an academic scholarship and played soccer and basketball. After that, I went and played a little professional ball over in Greece with LU Kos Mytilenis, which is on the island of Lesbos. And, you know, played about a year and a half, almost 2 years over there, and came back home. Went to work, met my wife, and had to change jobs when I met her. I was on the road traveling a good bit. And one thing led to another. The company I was working for sent me back to school to get an engineering degree, and had missed basketball. I missed basketball a lot. Started a youth church league program, ministered to young kids, inner-city youth, bring them in off the street, ministered to them about what God and Christ has done for my life. Just I said, hey, guys, 30 minutes Wednesday nights, we'll be talking about what God has done for me. Let me, and then we can play basketball. And built a strong church league ball program that we couldn't play in the YMCA league anymore. We couldn't play against local church teams anymore just because of how good my church team was. So we started playing private schools, private Christian schools, and traveling, doing that, enjoyed it. And that time, it was all high school boys, and they were like, Coach, let's do an AAU team this one summer. And I'm like, guys, I know nothing about the AAU. I think that's just for little kids. And they're like, no, it's not. And I did my research, found that, hey, you know, there's 19 and under AAU basketball. And that's what we founded. We founded the Spartanburg Spartans AAU basketball program here out of South Carolina. That was in 2008. And I took a team of kids who had just played for the state championship, and ESPN had done a story on them, and not only on those kids that I had, but on the team they played against, because their coach was killed in a fire at Charleston, South Carolina. And they ended up playing for the state championship, and my kids actually won the game on a full court shot, but then the referees waved it off, and the other team ended up winning the game. I took those kids to nationals. We finished number 3 in the nation. That was in our first year. We've participated in the AAU nationals every year since then, and have placed in the top 10. The last time was in 2012. Again, we finished number 3 in the nation. Off of that program. We started the prep school, founded St. Ignatius Prep here out of Spartanburg, South Carolina, in 2010. And the reason we got behind that was one night at dinner, my wife could see, and so I look on my face towards the end of the summer, and she goes, hey, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I just feel bad, because every year at the end of the summer, there's always 3 or 4 kids that would get placed in college. And she goes, well, what can you do? Start your own school? Now, given I'm working as an engineer, and I got to thinking, and looking at her, and I said, yeah, we can do that. So I partnered with a local community college that had no sports for my guys to take accredited classes, and we founded, like I said, St. Ignatius Prep in 2010. At the beginning, we had a few bumps in the road, and growing pains and bruises, and every year you learn how to do something a little bit better, a little bit different, and every year, thank the Lord, and we were blessed that most of our kids, I would say 80% of our kids, always receive some kind of offer. And either they accept it or they turn it down. It might not be the right offer for them, but they do receive those offers. So, that's how we got into the prep school program.
Okay, Coach Lee, I have a question for you.
Sure.
How do you prepare a player academically and athletically for college?
Well, that's a great question, because our situation, we offer academic classes that are accredited either because we've partnered with a local community college, or B, we have partnered with a high school program, like an adult learning program, to where these kids can go and take, if need be, retake, because with prep school you can only redo one class to better your GPA. So they can retake that one class, and they go from 8:30 to 12:30, Monday through Thursday, and they take that one class to better their GPA. But we also offer SAT, ACT prep classes. We have ESL classes, English as a second language classes, for any of our foreign students that need to have that. And we also offer in-house a composition and public speaking class to where, because here's the problem with a lot of young kids today, because a lot of schools are not teaching to test kids. They're not teaching to teach kids. So a lot of kids don't know how to write a composition and give credit for as a bibliography or footnote stuff. And they don't know how to get up and do a presentation. And as a freshman in college or sophomore in college, we always had those English classes or those public speaking classes where you had to get up in front of your peers and do a presentation. Kids don't know how to do that today. They're continuously, they'll be trying to speak to you, and they'll hesitate and do those little stuttering things. That's why the SAT and the ACT both have a composition part, during the test. Also, colleges today, they have an essay. They want you to write an essay as part of their entrance application. So, and our composition class that we teach We have gone to some of the best colleges and pulled their applications and pulled the topics that they ask you to write about. So there's anywhere from 30 different topics during the school year these kids have to write about. And we let them, you know, hey, you have 30 topics. This week you have this one. Next week you have an oral presentation to do. Then the following week another composition to do. And all our compositions are anywhere from 500 words to 1,500 word compositions that we require these guys to write.
Now, Coach, what do you feel on some things that give prep school a bad name?
Well, broken promises. You know, I'll give you some prime examples. Housing, meal situation, accredited classes that we just talked about, promising them big-time recruiting attention. That's just to name a few. Some other stuff that really concerns me is abuse of players or little connection to an education, helping them get to the next level, in other words, preparing them to go to college.
Wow. So as you know, as you're talking to parents and as you're talking to different players that are interested in your program, what are the tips that you can give a parent or a player that's, you know, looking for the right program for their child?
Well, you know, that's a twofold question there. Let me start off by saying, as they're looking into prep schools, they should ask about the number of players offered scholarships through that program. They should ask how many of them have actually been placed. What type of schedule do you play? Do you play a national schedule? Do you play against Fork Union, Hargrave, Massanutten, IMG, Oak Hill? What's your home versus away games? But before you do that, you need to really look. They need to sit down and look at the man in the mirror and decide if they are truly, you know, a post grad prep school player. Because here's some food for thought. For example, you know, if I guess I'm gonna give you five quick things that I ask kids. If you did not start on your high school team and your team wasn't at least a 500% winning, more than likely you're not a post-grad kid, a prep school kid. If you played on your high school team and your best game was against the worst team in your conference, you're not a post-grad kid. If you don't have any film, or you say your coach didn't, you know, if your excuse is my coach just didn't like me so I didn't get to play, you're probably not a post-grad kid. If you have all D3 schools recruiting you, you're probably not a post-grad kid. If you can't afford to pay $10,000, $30,000, most likely you're not a post-grad kid because post-grad schools cost. And if you go to one where the tuition is only about $5,000, you're not going to have to look – you don't look to travel much, playing the elite prep post-grad tourneys, or even get seen by college coaches. I mean – and then the bottom line comes down to if you have a 3.0 or better and no college is recruiting you, no D2 or D3 you know, go to college and play intramural sports. There's nothing wrong with being a good student because 99% of college basketball players will be professional in something other than basketball. And when it comes down to it, it's about getting a college degree. I mean.
And now, and Coach, can you please say that one more time? The 99% of basketball players, can you say that one more time?
99% of college basketball players will go professional in something other than basketball. I mean, and that's the truth. I mean, here's what I tell high school kids. High school kids, just because you have a 3.0 or better and maybe a 1,200 on your two-part SAT, that means you're a qualified Division I player. The thing is, look at yourself in the mirror and really be honest with yourself and have a heart-to-heart talk and decide, can I play at Division I? Maybe I'm really a Division II kid. Maybe I'm just a JUCO kid that can go maybe somewhere else out of there because 1% of all high school basketball players get college scholarships. And 1% of those college basketball players go and play professionally, you know, being in the NBA, the D League, overseas. So not everybody's going to make money playing college basketball. I mean, get your degree. I mean, the one thing I hate is this one-and-done stuff that these kids, I mean, you know, they go 1 year to college. Yes, they go make some quick millions of dollars, you know, or thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the NBA, playing pro somewhere, and then let's say they get hurt. What do they have to fall back on?
That's very true, Coach. When you're evaluating a player, what are some of the key things you look for?
Well, you know, we have an application process, and I'm not, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of these prep schools, well, just about take anybody that can afford to pay. That's not what we're about. We're about kids that we're going to be able to help to get to the next level. So number one, first and foremost, what kind of family do they come from? I mean, we do ask those questions. You know, hey, your parents married, separated, divorced? Because we want to know what kind of situation we're dealing with. Because let's say if there's a broken family or a single mom family, mom gets sick, has younger siblings, is this kid going to have to leave to go help mom? Number two, what kind of student was he? And when I say what kind of student was he, I don't mean what kind of academic student was he, because that's important. But what did he do? Like we'll call the guidance counselors to get recommendations and say, is there somebody else we can talk to? Oh, you can talk to his coach. No, is there another teacher? Because it's the kind of character that the kid has. Like this, when he goes to the cafeteria, does he talk to the cafeteria lady and say, good morning, Ms. Jones, how are you today? Or does he just, hey, she's nobody, she can't do nothing for me, so I don't have to be respectful to her? Because when it comes down to it, I look for five characteristics in a kid, and it's called RCD3: respect, commitment, determination, discipline, and dedication. Do they have those? Do they have those five characteristics? Because not only would that make them a good student athlete or a good basketball player, it makes them a good husband, it makes them a good employee down the road, and if they have those five things, then they're successful. They're successful in school. They're successful in life. So that's what I look for.
Wow. And I definitely agree with you, because it's not only the stuff that you do on the court, but, you know, the off-the-court persona is very important as well. Now, what has made your prep program successful over the years?
Well, when kids come to me, one of the first conversations we have, be it myself or my partners, other coaches that, you know, or the academic people, we tell them, hey, don't worry about winning games. Worry about winning a championship. Now, when I mean a championship, that's getting a scholarship. That's a championship in life. Because by now, if you're in a prep situation, you've done something wrong to get yourself in that prep situation. And that's either your academics went right, you're a young senior. Like, you know, 'cause a lot of kids nowadays are graduating at 17. They're really not ready to go to college. So they come to a prep program to develop their game and their physical size. Or they've done wrong, you know, they've scored low on their test grades. So, that's some of the stuff we tell them and look for.
Now, you know, with kids coming in, you know, straight out of high school, you know, into a prep school environment, and like you said, you have young seniors, prep school guys, how do you get them mentally prepared to go through the strenuous schedule? You know, I know certain prep schools, you know, they have at least 50 games, and, you know, you're going against the Oak Hills, the Massanutt, the IMGs. How do you get them mentally prepared and physically prepared to go through that type of tough schedule? Because it's different from high school. You know, you don't get the 2 hours in the gym like you normally do. Some prep schools, you know, you're in the gym from 4 to 6 hours every day.
Well, that's correct. That's true. And we have a set schedule. We try to run our program like it would be a small junior college type program. We do play a tough schedule against other, like, you know, 4-year school JV teams, against other national prep post grad programs, against some of the smaller prep programs like ourselves, and we play a lot of JUCOs, a lot of junior colleges. To get them, in, you know, prepared for that, we do have a strenuous, like the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of school, we get them conditioning, and weight, you know, lifting weights. We have one of the best, I think, in the Southeast, one of the best weightlifting programs and facilities around. You know, a lot of prep schools like ourselves, they're small and they work on small budgets, and they can't afford a lot of their own facilities. We are very fortunate to have, our own gym, our own building, as far as our classes go and everything. But as far as weight room, we partner with a local fitness center, and that has everything from, I mean, that you can imagine for weights. It used to be a former Stedman Hawkins clinic, so there has a pool in there. It has a treadmill and water. It has a sauna, to rehab injuries and stuff. But as far as preparing them, We tell them, I mean, and, you know, you're dead honest. That's one thing that, you know, you have to be key when you're dealing with not only the kids, the parents. Be honest. Just say what you're going to do. Do what you say, and tell them, hey man, you know, we're going to play Hargrave. Let me tell you how bad they beat us last year, or let me tell you how close the game was last year. And you're dealing with a program that has 12 to 15 players, and even their 13, 14, 15 men on the bench is going to go get a full ride scholarship to play ball somewhere. And those guys are on a full scholarship there. And you're having to pay to be in this program, and they're tough. And you know, they get up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. We get up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. We work out. We do our workouts. We go do our academic stuff. We go back and work out. We eat as a team. Then we're weightlifting as a team. I mean, another thing that we also offer our guys is yoga classes. I mean, we want them to be physically fit, both mentally, spiritually, and physically. I mean, so we prepare them with everything we can.
Well, thanks a lot, Coach, for giving us all that information. Now, do you, for people that are interested in coming to your program, do you have like any type of email or anything where people can come reach out to you at?
Yep. The quickest email I can give you, because right now we're off season and I'm not in the office as much as possible, but I do have a combinebball02@yahoo.com, combinebball02@yahoo.com. Or you can call me if you don't mind. I can give out my number, area code 864-504-5029. Let me hit you with one last thing before we leave. This is what baffles me. It's how parents will spend about $300 on a new pair of sneakers, $200 on a pair of new jeans, or $150 on a name brand shirt, but won't spend money for a tutor for their kids, an ACT or SAT prep, or even an individual for sports instruction to help their kids earn a college scholarship. The last thing is, it amazes me how as a nation we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to incarcerate a young man, but we won't help sponsor them for a prep school education, which leads to college education. Those are a couple points that people need to ponder and think about. I mean, because you know, it's easy when a young man makes a mistake to write them off than to forgive them and help them get to the next level.
I definitely agree with you. You know, some of these kids, you know, don't have the best grades, but they got the newest pair of Jordans, on their feet. You know, I don't understand it. I agree right along with you. I mean, definitely, if it's something that's going to benefit you in the long run, you have to make some type of investment in order to do so.
Let me tell you, if you want
to have a future.
That's right. Let me tell one quick last story before we get off. This weekend, my AU team was playing in Charlotte, North Carolina, against several very good teams. I noticed a young guy. I love the way he plays the game. He presented himself very well, talking to him. He's a graduating senior this year. And I told him, I said, look, man, I don't know what your situation is, but I have an opportunity for you, you know, with prep school, opportunity for you if you're interested. And we got to talking and everything. And late last night, we beat his team Saturday morning by 16. And yesterday we ended up playing his team for the championship, and they did beat us. But late last night on the way home, I get a call from who else? None other than yourself. And you're like, man, you ran into one of my guys. Talk to me. And he was a great young man. And you know, it's just how small world it is. And we are going to help him. We're going to get him an opportunity. Matter of fact, I'm talking to him later tonight. We're going to talk to him a little bit and get some more information on him. Get him what he needs to get done to get to the next, you know, the paperwork rolling. But hey, he's a fine young man. I'm not gonna put his name out there nationwide, but he's a fine young man, and I'm glad, you know, he knows somebody like yourself.
You know what? I'm gonna put his name out there because that's my guy. He's a good kid. His name is David Tripp. Definitely one of the most underrated players out here. He'll be on the show. He's a good kid. Definitely, he's a stand-up guy. And he cares about education more than anything, and he's just one of those guys who's willing to put the hard work in.
Well, I want to tell you, whoever raised that child did an excellent job. I mean, a fine young man. And, you know, I'm glad I met him, and, you know, we're glad we're going to be giving him an opportunity to play some ball at the next level.
Right. And thank you for going ahead and providing opportunities for not only my guy, but for a lot of kids out there that's going to go ahead and take their game and their education into the next level. And thank you very much for coming to the Game Strong Sports
Talk Show.
You,
sir. You got it. You have a good night.
Now, the best part of the show, TK. The best part of the show.
This is not the best part of the show.
That's the best part of the show.
Follow him on Twitter, GameStrong3D.
I wasn't going to say that.
That's what you was going to say every week.
Nah, I was going to just really say, you know, go ahead and listen to the other shows that's on the network.
No, that's not what you was going to say.
No, really, seriously, I was going to say that. No, how you just going to just assume that?
Because you said everything. You said that's the best part of the show. Tell people to follow you on GameStrong 3D. I'll do it for you, no problem. Follow him on GameStrong 3D. He don't be talking about nothing, but go ahead and follow him.
First and foremost, the Every Woman Talk Show, every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And then check out the Man Up Talk Show every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Every Woman Talk Show comes on every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. to 8:30. Check those out. Got to show a lot of love to the Shadow World Network. If it wasn't for them, definitely would not be here providing that platform for everybody to let your voices be heard. Now, since I got 3 minutes left, now it's time to do my own plug. Follow me on Twitter at GameStrong3D. Once again, GameStrong3D.
You know, so I don't ever plug myself because I take all your followers. So I'm not even going to do
it.
But thank you, GameStrong, for having me. Thank you, Shadow World Network.
You are a creeping clavier chair. You have no say on this show.
I appreciate the opportunity to get on Trey's nerves. It always brings up my evening. So thank you, thank you.
And I just want to thank y'all. Definitely tune in next week. It's Memorial Day weekend. A lot of spades. A lot of dominoes. Anybody want to challenge me in some spades? I'm putting it here, right now.
I challenge you.
You're going to lose.
I beat you at everything.
Never that. Spades is serious.
Okay, y'all hear it now. Next week.
This is Trey
up here trying, because TK done beat him at the table.
Look, spades
y'all
is serious.
Y'all heard it here first.
Spades is serious. For real. Like, especially when you got, I don't want to say money on the line, but if you're black, you had at least one auntie or one uncle who got slapped over a spade game. For real.
That's about the family reunions, holidays.
You know, somebody cut the book come up short, somebody renege, oh, yeah, it's all out of there. Look, but I'm just, you know. I'm nationwide, worldwide challenge. Anybody think they can beat me in spades, you can go ahead, you come holler at me. Game Strong, be dead. I will take and accept.
But you scared of me, though.
Did you just hear the boom?
But you don't want to play me, though.
Until next time, everybody, enjoy your week. Be safe. Have a safe holiday.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow. Now, I appreciate smart. But you got to know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. I love the Monday Night
with. All right, everybody.
This cack of ball, man.
Game Strong, we here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong! Too strong!
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout-out, I'll send them love.